Hey, my name is Jason. I'm the producer of It Starts With Attraction. I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website solely dedicated to working on your pies. Introducing itstartswithattraction.com. You can listen to every episode, learn about the pies, and sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go to itstartswithattraction.com. It starts with attraction, one word, itstartswithattraction.com to get signed up today.
This week on It Starts With Attraction.
In this episode, we're going to be talking about some tactical and practical things that you can begin doing on a daily basis to move you closer to the goals that you want to achieve in your life. So if you've been struggling with making forward movement or feel like you're at a plateau or a stalemate in moving towards becoming the person that you really want to be, then today's episode is exactly what you need to hear. Let's dive in.
There's a process to falling in love, and it starts with attraction. Join Kimberly Beam Holmes and her special guest as they discuss how to become the most attractive you can be, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, or as we refer to it, working on your pies. We'll teach you how to have better relationships and become more attractive to others, and maybe more importantly, to yourself. It starts with attraction, and it starts now.
I picked up a book the other day in my neighborhood. I don't know if the neighborhood you live in has any of those little neighborhood libraries where someone just kind of puts up a really big looking birdhouse in front of their house and fills it with library books and people can come and drop off books that they don't read anymore. Well, I picked up this one called The 12-Week Year and honestly thought it was going to be pretty Tim Ferriss style and think that it was going to teach me how to get a full year's worth of stuff done in 12 weeks so that I wouldn't have to work anymore for the rest of the year. But that's not exactly what it's been about. It's by Brian Moran. And full disclosure, I haven't finished the book yet. I'm a bit of the way through though. And there's been things that I've been reading over the past couple of days. And this morning thought, this is such good reminders. And it's stuff that is really applicable to the lives of many of the It Starts With Attraction podcast listeners. So I wanted to break down some of those things for you and talk practically about how you can begin implementing several of these ideas into your own life to see even greater progress in whatever area that you are wanting to see more progress in. The whole premise behind this book and behind not just this book, but many people, especially in the business or in the wellness space, is that when you actually become intentional about what it is you want to do, then the intention is what sets the vision, but it's the strategy and then the tactics that help you to move forward into attaining that vision or that goal that you're wanting. In the business space, this is common language. So if you are a fellow entrepreneur or business owner, then some of this may be redundant to you and a great refresher. But for those of our listeners who you're not in the business space and you aren't familiar with these terms like annual planning, and maybe that sounds new to you, then I want to give you just a brief definition of what that means. It's one of the ways that I work on my pies, actually, my physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual forms of attraction that each and every one of us have. And one of the ways that I do that is by focusing on what I want to accomplish, the person that I want to become over the next year. I typically do this around my birthday, which is in November, and I'll take the day of my birthday, if at all possible, if not the day before or after, to go out in nature, to go out on a hike, to go spend time by myself, reading, praying, reflecting, and thinking about not just what has happened in the past year and spending some time rejoicing and celebrating those things, but also looking deeper and asking, what are the areas in which I want to grow this coming year physically? What are my goals? What ways do I want to grow intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually? And I spend time looking toward the next year of my life and planning, doing some annual planning. What do I want to see happen in my life over the next year? And I break it down using the framework of the pies. And that's the premise that is used in business as well. Maybe even you've used something like this in your household, looking at finances, looking at the kids' school schedules, vacation planning, all of those things can fit into this. But the idea here is, how do we take life and begin to be more intentional about leading ourselves to where we want to go instead of just letting life happen to us? One of the examples that I have used before, when I do my annual planning, my birthday planning, I always start with physical because it's the first that comes in the acronym of PIES. And physically, in the past, I've looked at several different things and said, what do I want to accomplish physically? And for a while, I had a dry erase board in my garage gym that said I wanted to be able to do a 190-pound back squat. I had that for years. That was one of my physical goals. I wanted to be able to run to run a mile in less than 9 minutes was on there. I want to hold a handstand for longer than 20 seconds. And these were all things that physically I wanted to do. But for years, those stayed on my board. In fact, I wrote them in, it was either 2018 or 2019. And I found that board again just the other day and realized that it wasn't until this year that I actually accomplished any of those things. And I'm going to tell you why it took me so many years to do that. It's because I had a great thought, but it was really just a wish. Because when I looked at my day-to-day or my week-to-week and how I was training or what I was doing to help me reach those goals, it was pretty clear I wasn't doing what I needed to do to get there. And so when you have a vision for your future, a hope of who you want to become, an idea of who you want to become, it matters that you don't just put it in your mind as something that you would like to do as a wish for the future, but that you actually create a plan to help you get there. Otherwise, you're not going to get there. In fact, one of the things that I love about this book that I just randomly happened to pick up is the quotes that it has in it. And one of the quotes is by Lily Tomlin, and she says, "All my life, I wanted to be somebody. Now I see I should have been more specific." And the idea of that is we all want to do great things. We all want to see success and achievements in several areas of our life. But if we're not intentional and specific about what we're wanting to do, then we aren't going to actually move forward into becoming that person. I think I've said that enough. Another quote in this book is, "A vision without a plan is a pipe dream." We're not just talking about pipe dreams here on this podcast. The listeners of my podcast, you are all go-getters. I know it. And so you're wanting to start seeing differences in your life. You're sick of having the status quo. You're sick of your relationships being the way that they are, not being as satisfying or fulfilling as you would like them to be. You're sick of suffering with the same recurring thoughts, with the things that are keeping you stuck in your past. You want to move forward. You want to have a life more fulfilling than the life that you have now. And it's absolutely possible. But what it takes is being intentional about your planning. But not just your annual planning. It's not just about looking forward to the next year and saying, what is it that I want to do? How do I want to grow? How can I become more of the person that I really want to become in my life? Be the mom, be the dad, be the husband, be the wife that I need to be, that I want to be. All of those are great starting points. But then from there, it's about getting specific. And the premise of this book is to, instead of looking at it as 12-month plans, because that gives us a whole lot of time to do nothing and then kick our butts into gear the last 3 months of the year if we are actually keeping score and keeping ourselves accountable. The idea here is to think of things in 12-week periods instead. 12 weeks, the next 3 months, the next quarter. What is it that you can actually do to help you move closer to being that person that you truly want to be? And again, we can use the PIES as a framework here. So here's what I want to encourage each of you to do. I want to encourage you to take 10 minutes today. It doesn't have to be an hour. It doesn't have to be a full day. It can literally be 10 minutes, because I believe that most of us have everything that we know needs to change in our lives in our head. It's already in our mind. We just haven't taken the time and space to flesh it out. Take 10 minutes today, put on a timer, get somewhere quiet, lock yourself in your closet if you have to, put 10 minutes on the clock, and then I want you to just write down on a blank sheet of paper, pies, P-I-E-S. And for 10 minutes, starting with whichever one you want to, I always start with P because I just go in order, start with, what are the things that I would want to see change in my life over the next 12 weeks for me to feel better physically? What does the outcome of that look like? So don't get into the tactics yet, but what does the outcome? In 12 weeks, I want to be sleeping throughout the night. I want to be sleeping for 8 hours a night. Or maybe in the next 12 weeks, I want to be able to walk for a full 2 miles without getting tired and burned out. Or maybe it's physically, in order to feel better, I really need to clean up some of the things that I'm eating. I need to stop drinking so much. Maybe that's part of what is really keeping you from feeling the best that you can for your age and situation in life, having the energy and the mental clarity that you need. What is the outcome you would love to see for yourself in 12 weeks? Intellectually, what is the outcome you would like to see for yourself? Maybe it's you want to start a new hobby, learn a new language, advance in your career at work. And in order to do that, you need to learn some new things. What is it intellectually you can begin to do to personally develop? Emotionally, over the next 12 weeks, in 3 months from now, what change would you like to see in your life? And then spiritually, when it comes to your beliefs and values and living in line with those and fulfilling your purpose in life, what would you like to have seen happen? What would you like to have done? Or what would you like to be in the middle of doing 3 months from now? Here's another way that you can ask yourself that question. If you had a magic wand and you could wave it and wake up 3 months from now and things were different in each of those areas of your life to where you felt fully fulfilled, like you were walking in your purpose, all of those things, then how would your life be different? And that is another way that you can approach that question. Now, once you have in mind what it is over the next 3 months that you want to work towards doing, then the goal from there is, how do you break down the next 12 weeks into weekly habits and daily actions? What are the items, the behaviors, the activities that you need to actually engage in that are going to move you toward getting that result that you want? Physically, this is an easy one to always pull examples from, right? Many times people will look at the physical one and say, I want to lose weight. I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to lose 50 pounds. I would encourage you with every single one of these, but especially when it comes to physical, that you be really realistic about what you expect these outcomes to be over the next 3 months. And don't put something there that is not healthy, one way or another. If you put, I want to lose 50 pounds, that is highly unlikely to happen and be sustainable over a long period of time, nor is it probably healthy. Maybe, though, it's on the opposite spectrum where you're saying, I want to run a 5-minute mile. Well, if you're at a 12-minute mile right now, it is highly unlikely that you're going to be able to move to a 5-minute mile in the next 3 months, even if you were to be training every single day. And actually, training every single day would probably thwart your progress in that area. So be realistic about what it is that you can do. Not easy on yourself, because one of the things we know about goals, according to the research, is that if a goal doesn't seem difficult enough, that we actually don't have motivation to work towards it. We need goals and set goals for ourselves that we see as challenging, yet not impossible. So there's a fine line there. But then there's the other tension point of, if you set a goal that's too hard and don't make it, it can be very demotivating for the future. So it's finding the balance between that tension point in all of these areas. Set a goal that is challenging, but not something that's going to be nearly impossible for you to do. And also keep in mind your daily life that you still have to keep up. You're not going to be able to devote yourself to learning a brand new language 8 hours a day over the next 3 months. You're likely not going to become fluent in a brand new language in that time. But what is a challenging goal that you can set for yourself? And you do this in each area of your pies. Now, emotional is where people mostly get caught up in this because they'll say, well, I really want to be more patient, or I want to be a better wife, or I want to be a more kind husband. That's not specific enough. You need to get really specific with your outcome of what you're wanting to do. So I remember when my son, who now is 6 years old, when he first started in kindergarten just last year, we have an amazing school system where we live. And the school provided for my son some therapy services, some occupational therapy services. And one of the things that we were struggling with him with, that the school was struggling with, was his inability to fully follow the rules, fully follow a multifaceted set of directions. And one of the things I thought was so fascinating when he entered into occupational therapy was that the therapist realized what he's struggling with. One of the things he's struggling with is following directions. And so we're going to put goals in place that by the end of this semester, that he will be able to follow a 3-part direction with only one reminder. So the 3-prompt action would be something like arrow. That's my son's name. Arrow, come in to the classroom, put your backpack away, put your folder in your desk and sit down. So that might technically be 4, but you get what I'm saying. There was a multifaceted part of this. And the goal that they worked with him over that semester was starting with following a 1-step direction without any reminders, and then worked up to 2 steps and then 3 steps. So they were able to take something like he needs to follow directions and actually break it into something measurable and attainable. So if you're sitting there saying, I want to be a better wife or a better husband or a more patient person, those are all fantastic. But what does that mean? If you were to be a more patient person, then really, in reality, like if I were to be watching you do this, what would change about your behavior that would show that you would become a more patient person? And so maybe it's that you won't, that you over the next 3 months, you're not going to initially react in anger or frustration. Maybe if it's your kids when they get home from school, and they have 1,800 things that they need from you or want from you, and maybe that's when you find yourself getting really frustrated and you find yourself just saying, leave me alone. Like, I need silence. Maybe that's where you feel like your breaking point is. And so perhaps for you, it's after, over the next 3 months, I am no longer going to have outburst of frustration towards my kids or towards my husband. I'm going to learn how to breathe deep and respond in a calm manner. Get very specific about your action that you want the outcome to be, because then that's what we're going to make the weekly and daily habits align with. If it's, I want to be a better wife. Well, what does that mean to you? In what ways do you feel like you're not being a good wife right now or not being a good husband right now? What are the things that would need to change in a positive manner in order for you to look at that and say, I feel like I'm a better wife? Again, I don't know that that's the best way to put it. I mean, it's not. We would need to get a very specific outcome, but all of us have ways that we can grow. Literally for me. I wrote this in the beginning of last month, in the beginning of August. I'm doing this in September. The beginning of August, I said, I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mom. But specifically, what areas did that mean for me? Well, I had realized that over the past, I don't know, several months at least, one of the things that I had not been getting from my husband was kisses, like daily kisses. And I found myself getting resentful about that. And, you know, when I would watch a movie or whatever and see these couples so in love and just kissing, and I was like, man, like, why does my husband not kiss me anymore like that? And last month, I had to come to Jesus with myself and said, Kimberly, why don't you just kiss him and make it a priority, make it a daily action and a daily habit that you do. Now, you all may be just leaps and bounds ahead of me, but this was like mind blowing to me. And so I wrote it on a journal that one of our team members gave me, which was so special. I really appreciate it. But he gave me this journal where you kind of write down what you want your habits to be, and every day you can kind of check it off. And so in there, I wrote kiss Rob as a daily habit. In there, I wrote snuggle with my kids every day as a daily habit. Something that was the key area that I wanted to make an intentional effort in, because the greater outcome was, well, for my husband, I wanted more intimacy, more romance in our relationship. And then with my kids, that was what I realized that I was kind of putting off until the very end of the day, until like they were in bed, ready to go to sleep. And I was tired and I wasn't spending as much time with them just physically, like being with them on a day-to-day basis. I let life get in the way. And so for me, that was a very important part of slowing down and intentionally connecting with my kids. So what does that look like for you? If emotional attraction is all about evoking positive emotions within other people, then what is the specific positive emotion you're trying to evoke? Or what is the negative emotion that you're trying to stop doing? And how can you replace that with one that is positive, that evokes positive emotions? And that can help to guide your choice of what you're going to focus on and be intentional about over the next 12 weeks. And then spiritually, living in line with your beliefs and values, going out and doing something good for the community, thinking about more than just yourself and your situation. And again, you can do this in a variety of ways. For me, over the past month, I decided to start volunteering again. I haven't volunteered, I'm ashamed to say, I haven't volunteered in years, until before we brought the kids home from India. And I was asked by some people in our small group to go and serve at a mobile food pantry a couple of weeks ago, and it filled my heart with joy. And so I've started volunteering now with that food pantry in our area, and bringing my daughter with me again as a way to kind of stack those pies, like brings our kids with you, do things, or bring your kids with you, do things in order to, you know, spend time with them and give back to the community, doing different things like that, or even signing up for a small group or attending a Bible study or doing something to be able to give back in the community. Or maybe it's that you need to stop spending time with people who are actually unaligning you from your beliefs and values. Maybe there are friends that you have in a friend group that keep wanting you to go back to certain places with them, or have conversations about things that take your heart and your mind off of the person that you want to be, and maybe get you to think about people you shouldn't be thinking about, or things that you shouldn't be thinking about, or doing things with other people that you shouldn't be thinking about. It may be worth looking at not just how can you remove some of those influences and temptations from your life, but also how can you bring in positive influences that will help keep you focused and aligned on the person that you want to be. So the goal here is you have that 3-month look of, what do I want to accomplish in these areas over the next 3 months? And then that you create the daily and weekly habits. Now, some of these habits, especially probably under learning goals or personal development, you may not be able to practice a new language every single day a week. Or maybe if you're doing a certain certification class, that's not something that you do on a daily basis, because maybe it only happens once a week. So in those areas, then you set time on your schedule for that to happen once a week. But there's other things that do lend credence to a daily check-in and making sure that daily you're working towards making sure that that happens. My encouragement in each of these areas always, especially when it comes to physical. With physical, we know that sleep is so important. If you're stuck on what you can focus on physically, I will always ask you, how is your sleep? Because emotionally, it's more difficult to deal with hard situations when you are sleep deprived. Intellectually, you actually don't retain information. You're not as creative. You don't learn as well when you're not getting enough sleep. Spiritually, we can tend to make decisions about our future and about our lives that may not align with who we truly are when we're sleep deprived. So many areas go into that. Focusing on eating better foods that are more nourishing to your body is always a great option. And then moving your body is always going to be an amazing option as well. Anything under those three are great daily habits to have. And for me, those are my keystone habits. So keystone habits are the habits that if you do these things on a daily basis, it sets you up for success to move and handle your day at the best optimal level possible and helps you to make better decisions throughout your day. So for me, it's getting that 7 to 8 hours of sleep, waking up, getting some morning sunlight, going on a morning walk, having my Bible study every morning. Those are going to be my three keystone habits. And then I do my actual workout around noon. It's a great way for me to have a break in my day so I can kind of let the stress of my morning build up. And then I have a pressure release halfway through the day. And then I'm able to go through the second part of my day until the kids get home around 4. And then I try and disconnect and do cooking and different things like that, spend time with my kids, spend time with my husband. But I've found that daily rhythm. And when I get out of that daily rhythm, it throws everything off. There was a day last week where I didn't get out for my morning walk until 11. And it was a hard emotional day. That had happened because the night before, there had been some pretty hurtful news that I received about someone who did something that really hurt my feelings. And so the next day, I was just like in a blur. And I didn't do my routine and it threw my entire day. And it took until the next day to really just get back and be aligned. You might be saying, well, how does all of this align with what we're talking about with like 12-week plans and weekly plans and daily plans? Because once you begin to look at your schedule, your calendar, your day-to-day as something that you control and not what controls you, then you actually can begin to make amazing progress to becoming the person that you want to be, the person who God has called you to be. Another great quote I love from this book was, "The greatest predictor of your future are your daily actions." What are you doing on a daily basis to move you towards the person that you want to be? And the reason that I love this 12-week concept is because it's short enough where you can be really motivated and all in because you want to see major turnaround in that 12-week time frame. And you might even be thinking about this and listening and thinking, but 12 weeks is still a really long time. It is. 3 months is a third of the time it takes to grow a child inside of a mother's womb. So yeah, 3 months is still a long time. And maybe for you, you would feel more comfortable starting with a month. What can I do over the next 30 days? Those are some great time points. Those are some great time stakes, so to say, that you can put in the ground to really help you be motivated and to stay focused continually on that outcome, on that intentionality, on that future reality that you want to be true, on the vision and goals that you have. You don't want it to be so far ahead that you feel like you have time to just slack off, but you also don't want it to be too soon that you can't really make progress. So if for you, if you're just starting out on this, then maybe for you, a 30-day goal is perfect. And maybe for you, it's that you focus on one or two areas of the pies and not all four. The amazing thing about this is you can shift it, mold it, model it into whatever way works best for you. Because the goal is that you begin to make forward progress and that you begin to move forward in the person that God has called you to be, into the fullness of your calling and your purpose, into feeling the best that you can for your age and situation in life, to continuing to mentally and intellectually grow and learn, to have better relationships through evoking more positive emotions within others. That's the goal of all of this. And so it doesn't have to be that you do all four areas of your pies every 12 weeks and that you have a brand new goal every single one. It could be that you put 30-day sprints into place and you go really long and hard. Maybe you say you're going to do a running routine over the next 30 days. You're going to read this book over the next 30 days. You're going to focus on this area of patients. You're going to volunteer in this way. And then you reassess at the beginning of the next month. And that is great too. It has more to do with you, your personality, what you are actually going to do, and what you're going to stay aligned to, and what's going to hold you most accountable, because that's where the difference is made. If you're not going to follow through with a 12-week process, then don't start a 12-week process. Titrate it down to a 4-week process and figure out something that works for you. I would love to know what specifics you took from this episode, and I would love to know the kind of goals that you're working on. You can find me on Instagram at Kimberly Beam Holmes. Tag me, DM me. I always love hearing about how you process these episodes and your takeaways from it. Also, if you didn't know, there's a YouTube channel of all of these podcasts as well. I would love to hear from you under the comments on there as well. As always, if you enjoyed this episode, I would love if you would leave a review that helps us to reach even more people or share it with a friend. You likely know someone who's struggling with goals and with feeling like they just don't have good grounding in their life, like their mind is all over the place and they don't know what to do. This episode could definitely help them. Would love if you would share it. Until next week, stay strong.